2 Timothy chapter 2. We've been looking at in the month of July. And again, thank you for sticking with me through these sermons on liberty, steadfast in liberty. And concluding this morning with it, we're going to see our responsibility. Our responsibility, we are to maintain our liberty. Now, Jesus Christ has set us free. We know that and started in Galatians 5, but we are to maintain a lot of that liberty. And notice, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Paul is writing, as you know, to a younger man. He's a pastor. The book is written to a pastor. But he says here, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Oh, how we need the grace of God. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," notice here, "the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Again, now this morning we're going to look at this liberty. We need to maintain our liberty and avoid the bondage that's so clear. I talked just recently, just within the last week, I think it was been two or three different people struggling with bondage. They're in bondage in different and various ways, you understand. But I thought about that. And do you know there's people today, tens of thousands of people that are incarcerated right now that are Christian men and women that love the Lord, that read the Bible, etc. But they're in bondage, aren't they? They have internal liberty, yeah, but externally they're in bondage. I thought about that, and I thought about so many Christians today that live in bondage. Can I encourage you this morning, my friend, a little bit about this freedom and liberty that we've been given and how to maintain that? Now, Jesus Christ does the work. We know that. Galatians 5, Paul reminds the churches there that we are to be steadfast, continuing in the liberty wherewith we've been set free. But a lot of believers today go back into bondage, don't they? They fail. They go back. Do you ever wonder why so many fail? Do you ever wonder why you fail? Why I fail? Doesn't it frustrate you? I mean, not big things. I know we're not real, go out and blatantly sin openly and things of that nature, but boy, we mess up a lot. And you wonder why. Can I encourage you with a few thoughts this morning? Now, thinking about, we are called to be a soldier. I just want to remind you of that. We have far too many Christians today who are coddled and caressed. It's okay, everything will be fine. Oh, it's okay. No, we're called to be soldiers. Now, we'd understand the context here. He's speaking to a pastor. There's a higher degree and a higher responsibility, obviously, to the pastor. We answer to God in different ways than maybe just a lay person in that regard. And so there's much more responsibility. But thinking about today, every single child of God, if you're saved this morning, you are called to be a soldier for Christ. A soldier does not enter in the first day and make a bunch of demands, do they? "Well, I'd like to have this, this, and that." What do they say? No, you're going to do what we say. Now, praise God, our God is not that way. Amen? He's a gracious, loving, merciful God. And He is there to help us and love us and guide. And by the way, does at times caress us when we should be getting a little back slap on the tushy. And you think about today, God is there for us. Let me say a couple things here. We are, first of all, engaged in a spiritual warfare. We do not, as we're going to look at in a minute, apply the armor of God if you're not engaged in war. Now, notice what he says. Verse 4 again. "No man that warreth," he's in war, he's in battle, "entangles himself with the affairs of this life." Why? "That he may please him." Who's the him? Jesus Christ. "Who hath chosen him," Timothy, "to be a soldier." I've said this about 2 weeks in a row, but let me just remind you. When you are focused on pleasing Him, you will please everyone else you are supposed to please in your life. You're not supposed to please everybody. See, that's where we hurt ourselves. That's where I hurt myself. I try to please everybody. You know, "Oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. No. Right? You please Him. Then you please everyone you're supposed to please. And there's people we're supposed to please that we don't please, and we end up trying to please the people we're not supposed to please. Right? Doesn't that make sense? You're trying to please these people over here, and God says, "What are you dealing with them for? I want you to please them." Now, think about this. We are in a war today in order, we must get our commands from the top. The devil and his armies are doing everything they can to stop the work of God. By the way, did you find how difficult it was just to get to church this morning? Have you found out since you've been faithful to church, you've had struggles in your relationships? Have you found out that you tried to read your Bible, that stinking TV show on the DVR just keeps calling your name? Doesn't it? And boy, I know some of you are recording a show right now. Just drives me nuts sometimes. And you think about it, there's a real adversary, there's a real war. And if you don't believe that, go out on Skid Row today and go out into just our city. Went out yesterday to a couple stores here and there and everywhere in Albuquerque. And what's there? A guy, every store we went to, there's a guy standing out there panhandling. And bless their heart, you want to help them, but what they're going to do with that money. Trying to reach them with the gospel and give them a track and all of that. But you think about today. Now, let me say a few things and hurry through this first part. We see, first of all, that we must join the army. We must join God's military. Now, God's army is made up of volunteers. Our United States right now, we have not enacted a draft. We haven't had one for quite a while. And praise God for that, for a lot of young men. But it's all volunteer, isn't it? Volunteer. Praise God for our military. I'm so thankful for our law enforcement and military and others that have put their lives on the line daily, that spend extended periods of time away from their family so we can enjoy our freedom today. Now, we think about this. We must be a part of the army. Now, simply report for duty. There's nothing to it. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There it is. The volunteer. You and I must present ourselves. God is a merciful God. God is a gentleman. He will not twist our arms to join the army. He will not force us, although he could, he doesn't. He desires us to volunteer. Have you presented your life to him? I'm talking about this morning the liberty wherewith we have been given. Christ has set us free, right? But a country is only as free as its defense. A country is only as free as its defense. Do you realize, I just read this recently, amazed me, the CIA, how many threats and plans they thwart and remove out of the way that are against the United States every day from other people in other countries? The threats, warning that they're going to come and all these things. Now, praise God for our military. We have today the strongest, healthiest military, really, in the world. But a country is only as free. An individual is only as free as its defense. Now, God wants to help us. God has set us free. But notice this, first of all, we not only must join the army. Are you saved this morning? One, have you presented yourself? I talked to an individual and they continued to struggle with some problems and praying for him, trying to encourage him. But the continual habitual sinning you think about today, tried to encourage him with, do you know you're saved? When the Holy Spirit indwells you, there's a change. There's a change. Now it's hard to get out of it. Trust me, I know. The addiction that's there, it's hard to get out of it. I'm not making light of that, but I'm saying there's a change. There's a helper inside of you. So Jesus said, I've come to help you. See, we can't do it on our own. We can't change ourselves. We try. That's what the world pushes. Change yourself, help yourself, build yourself up, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Never help. It never happens, does it? It's a struggle. You think about today, we need the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Are you saved? Secondly, have you presented yourself to the Lord? Have you volunteered in the army? Okay, now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's turn back there. Ephesians chapter 6. Now those of you who know your Bible, you know where I'm going. We're going to look at the armor of God. If you've never studied the armor of God, you ought to. It's a wonderful picture Paul gives. He gives this great analogy. He ties in the soldier's armor, physical armor, to that of the spiritual armor we should apply. Now notice this. We're trying to maintain liberty in our lives. So many Christians are by the wayside because they've gotten comfortable. They've gotten sick. They've gotten lazy. They've gotten apathetic. And by the way, woe to us as Christians who are lazy spiritually. I find that in my life so often. Lazy spiritually. I mean, I can find time to do what I want to do. By the way, people do what they're going to do, right? We do what we want to do. Woe to us who are apathetic towards the things of God, towards reading your Bible. I mean, good night. I have an app on my phone that reads the Bible for me. And I hit play. Do you have one of those? I hope they're free, by the way. It's a free app. You should get that on your phone. And I just play it. And I don't catch all of it. You know, and then he says something and it gets my attention. We need to what? Be healthy. We need to be moving. We need to be active in the things of God. Notice what he says in verse 11. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, not parts of it, the whole, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, do you see that? Steadfast. Stand, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking that shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's the armor we're given. It's given to us. One of the things that gets me and grips my heart that I'm so thankful to the Lord for, He didn't leave us hanging. God didn't say, now, Tim, I want you to serve me and try and avoid the devil, try and avoid all the problems of life, and I'm not going to help you with anything else. What's He say? Now you're a Christian? Yes, sir. You accepted me as your Savior? Yes, I have. Okay, now, here's all your equipment. Isn't that wonderful? The man or woman that joins the military shows up day one, and what do? They take everything from them and they give them theirs, don't they? Here's the outfit you're going to wear. Here's the tools you're going to use. Here's the weapon you're going to use. We're going to train you in it. And we're going to shave all your hair off, okay? Right? Heard the story of the farm boy. They sent him a letter in the mail, the Marine Corps, and the Marine said, we're going to pay you to serve in the military. And he said, hot dog, man, I'm going to go. He told his parents, I'm going to go. They're going to pay me to be in the military. They said, well, you think you can handle it? He said, I think so. It's going to be tough. He said, I know. So he went and joined the Marine Corps. And about 2 weeks into boot camp, he sent a letter back home. And he said, Mom and Daddy, you're not going to believe it. They let us sleep in till 4:30. He says, you're not going to believe it. They only make us work 8 hours a day. Some of you grew up on the farm. You know what that's like, don't you? He was so happy. He said, they feed us 3 meals a day. They give us everything we need. He was so happy compared to the farm life, right? I guess perspectives about it, right? Everything in perspective. And you think about this here now. Applying the armor of God. Notice first of all the truth. The truth. He says, take unto the armor. Take unto you the armor. Have your loins girt about with truth. Truth is the word of God. Knowing the truth gives us liberty. Knowing that truth gives us liberty. You ever fear and fret? Yes. You ever worry? You ever stressed out? Overwhelmed? Yes. But if you know the Bible, it helps. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Self-image. No weapon formed against me shall prevail. Ooh. Got a lot of people against you? Yeah. So you know the promises of God, don't you? Now here's the truth. The loins girt about. Now in this time, the loins really comprise that of about your sternum down to the rest of it. You understand? That was the loins. The Jews believed that the emotional seat was there in the loins. You know how you get nervous? You get butterflies in your stomach? You get scared, you get a feeling in your stomach. They believe emotions came from down there. That's where the emotions came from. What do you think about? You have control over your emotions. What helps? Truth. You hold up. It's almost a belt, if you will. We often picture it as a belt. The truth holds up. You put on your work belt. You got your tools ready, all those things. But I'm saying, sometimes people don't have control over their emotional state and over the things around them. They can't control everything, so they fall apart. But if you know the truth will hold you up. And we saw last week that Jesus said, the truth will make you free. He says the truth. Do you have it today? Do you know the truth? Secondly, he says the righteousness. We have the breastplate of righteousness. I'll get through these quickly here. But the breastplate of righteousness, this protects the heart. That breastplate protects the vital organs of the body, protects your heart, liver, all the things that are very vital, your lungs, all of those things. And he says you need to be protected with righteousness. Psalm 11, verse 7 says, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness." If he is righteous, then we should be righteous, the writer of the New Testament says. We are performing. Why? We're his children. You carry his name. You take and carry his personality. One of them being, he loves righteousness. He's a righteous God. And you and I must protect our hearts with righteousness. Why? The world pulls at our heart, doesn't it? Oh, let the heart, your heart be your guide. No. We ought to know the truth. We ought to know the truth. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool, Proverbs says. He's a fool. We need to know the truth. Are you performing righteousness? Why? It protects you. As a kid, you remember doing what's right. You didn't have any worries. I feel pretty good, right? Why? I did what was right. I can't get in trouble. I can't get in trouble. I know I've done what I was supposed to do. Now, much deeper than just doing what's right, righteousness carries with it. Are you following the commands, principles, and precepts of the Word of God? Notice the gospel of peace, he says. The gospel of peace. Have your feet shod, verse 15, with the gospel of peace. You understand and see, we ought to be sharing the gospel, obviously, but the feet mentioned in Scripture talks about action, talks about moving, talks about going to and fro. We understand that. Are you carrying the gospel with you? The gospel brings peace, but are you prioritizing that in your life? Do you think spiritually? I pray, Lord, help me to be spiritually minded, because if I don't, what? I just do my own thing. Oh, I should have invited them to church. Oh, I should have gave them a track. Oh, I should have read my Bible. I should have prayed instead of worrying. Spiritually minded. Okay, I must hasten here. Faith, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. It's our defense. We put the shield up. This is our trust or confidence in Jesus Christ. And in our, it's our protection against the fiery darts. Those are the temptations we've been looking at on Sunday nights. The temptations that come our way. Do you know the adversary has fiery darts? Do you ever see those old movies? I mean, they pull those darts out. What do? Before they let that thing go, they light it on fire. I mean, that's just even cruel, right? Like a marshmallow. I mean, this. Not only do they want to stick you through with an arrow, they want to light that thing on fire. I mean, that's cruel. And the adversary is not your friend. The adversary is never taking a break from trying to disrupt your life. Everything. Not only does he want to shoot darts at you, he wants to light them on fire. Because he wants them to burn. He not only wants to prick you in the heart with something or backstab you with something, but he wants it to burn for years. That resentment and bitterness. As I said, I believe last week or Wednesday, I don't even know what day it is, but that the Bible says, be careful. The root of bitterness springing up. Sometimes we try and reach in and pull the roots out. No, the roots are permanent. People have damaged you and hurt you, caused resentment and bitterness and anger within you. They hurt you. But what he says is don't let those roots sprout. Don't let them sprout out. That's where we get in trouble. And we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When you have those thoughts of resentment and you go somewhere and you're reminded of something that happened in your past, right? Or you run into somebody or you hear a song or you have a smell or something reminds you of something in your past, don't you? You take that and you bring it into captivity and you give it to Christ. Say, Lord, I'm not going to deal with that. I've already given that to you. I'm not going to allow that in. I'm just saying we have a shield of faith today. As he shoots the darts at us, we put the faith up. I know who God is. I believe in God. God is for me. God, I know I can trust. The Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. I don't have to carry those and bear those anymore. We have next the assurance of salvation. He says, put the helmet of salvation on. The helmet of salvation. That's a knowledge of salvation. You have the assurance. The assurance of salvation will protect our minds. It's amazing how many things are mentioned in the Bible about the mind of the believer. How we ought to have the same mind of Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. God Almighty. And if you're like me, I can huff and puff if somebody tells me to do something. Well, what does he think I am? A servant? What do they think I am? Oh, the mind of Christ, the mind that we ought to have, he says. Think on these things, the things that are pure and righteous and holy. Do you have assurance of salvation today? Do you have assurance? Do you know Jesus Christ died for your sins and that we don't have to wonder about it? I know what your priest told you growing up. I know what maybe granddaddy told you, but I'm telling you today, the Bible says we have assurance of salvation. 1 John 5 says, I wrote these things to you that you may know that you have salvation. You know it. Can I really know that? Brother Tim, I didn't have a warm, fuzzy feeling when I prayed though. No, it's not feeling, it's fact. If we'll put our faith in the fact and not a feeling, that's where the Pentecostals and Charismatics get all screwed up. Pardon my French. It's all feelings. If I didn't have a feeling, oh, I don't know. No, no, friends, we're never told to go off of feelings. Never. Read your Bible from cover to cover. Never. That's what got Isaac in trouble. Now, thinking about this, I must go on. Lastly, the Word of God. The Word of God. I love this. The helmet of salvation. And then he says, verse 17, the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, again, you know this. This is our only offensive weapon. Don't you love that? Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, talks about the Word of God. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that wonderful? It's a sharp two-edged sword. Again, like I said last week, it's not for slashing. A lot of people take the Bible and they just cut people up. I mean, they just wound. You ever been wounded by another Christian? And by the way, I know this to be true. People won't come to church because of other Christians. It's nothing else. It's not because they don't like the music. It's not because it's too hot or too cold in here. It's not because the donuts are bad or the coffee's too strong. It's because of other Christians. It's because of us, right? And we have to be very careful. But sometimes people go, they slash people with the Bible. Oh, the Bible says this, and you're sinning, and you're wrong, and you're ungodly, and everything else, right? Well, the Bible's for piercing. It's two-edged. It's for piercing. And let God be God, by the way, preaching to myself. Let the Bible speak. See, the Bible has power. The Bible is quick. That means living. And Jesus said, my word will not return void. My words return void. I don't even know what I preach sometimes. And I know you folks don't either. Do you remember what we talked about last Sunday? I don't remember. That's my kids, you know. Did you hear what I said? Huh? What? But the Bible, doesn't it? It's the living book. It's the Word of God. We ought to let the Bible be the Bible. We ought to let the Word be the Word. And he says, take unto you the sword of the Spirit. The sword. Do you have your sword sharpened today? Is your sword prepared? No soldier stands around and is not prepared. In fact, in the boot camp especially, they prepare you on how to take apart your rifle and put it back together. They prepare you on how to maintain and maintenance your weapon. In a battle, in a gunfight, your weapon jams. The soldier knows what to do, how to unjam it, or else he's dead meat. It's life and death. You know, so many people today, as Christians, they don't take care of their sword. Their sword is dull. In fact, sometimes they can't even find their sword. It's collecting dust somewhere. They are shallow in their Christianity. Oh, how we need more men and women of God that know and can use their sword. The Word of God has been given for an expressed reason and purpose. The Word of God. Do you realize today you base your eternality, your eternal state on the words of this book? That gets kind of scary. We base everything on this book. Oh, friends, the more you get into this book, the more you love the book. The more time you spend in this book, the more you're going to love this book. I'm just saying today. And you can't read the Bible through 3 times in a year, 4 times in a year, and not have it affect your life. You can't read this book through, and if you're worth your salt as a Christian, you ought to be at least reading this book through once a year. I mean, one time. If you took 1 hour a night, you could read through this book very easily. Trying to read through it 3 times this year, you do not do that without it changing who you are, without changing your personality. Oh, my friends, we need the Word of God, the Spirit. I'm talking about this morning, as we apply this armor, we're defending our liberty. We're defending it. Now, let me say secondly, here, we must endure hardness. He says there in 2 Timothy, again, you don't have to turn there, but he says that we're to endure hardness. Notice what he says as a good soldier. A good soldier. Not a half-hearted soldier, a good soldier. Anyone who's been in the military will let you know and will tell you it is necessary to endure hardness. It is necessary to suffer trouble. It is necessary to endure the afflictions you're going to have to endure to be a good soldier. A couple things. There's hardness of training. The Lord personally puts us through certain difficulties to train us for the ministry, to train us for what we're going to go through. And the hard things we often go through are for our benefit. You know that. What you've challenged us. You look back in your life. What do you remember the most? The hard times. Does it ever shock you like it does me? I don't think back about all the good things and all the things God has done for me and how He's blessed. What do you look back at? Well, remember when they said that? I remember when they didn't. And isn't that true? And I'm being very silly with that, but there's much deeper, more, much harder things that some of you have endured. Very wounded, very harsh things. It's easy to do that. But you and I, as soldiers of Christ, are to endure the hardness and go through those things if we're going to be worth our salt as a Christian. The Lord doesn't want someone who is shallow and weak and lazy. He wants a soldier of Christ. And by the way, let me just remind you that it's the very least we can do after all He's done for us. Isn't it? That's what Paul says in Romans 12. It's our reasonable service. That means it's the very least we can do is serve the Lord. It's not hard to serve the Lord. We endure trials, temptations, and other. It's not hard. God blesses us so richly, doesn't He? Know several people right now. They are in the hospital. Know several other people. They're trying to plan a funeral. I mean, know several other people that just got diagnosed last week. I mean, you think about, and I know you folks go through so many things. I know that. But how blessed we are and how God takes care of us. I'm just saying, a little bit of hardness we can endure. There's hardness of separation. Hardness of separation. He says He doesn't entangle Himself with the affairs of this life. He doesn't get caught up in a spider web. He doesn't get caught up in the affairs of the things that go on. We have no partnership or contracts that will interfere with our service. We do not make provision for the flesh. Why? Oh, it'll mess up my service for the Lord. I will make no contracts with those ungodly things because why? It will threaten my liberty. It'll threaten our liberty. My friends, today, how many are threatening our freedom here in the United States of America? I can't tell you how excited I am that the Supreme Court overturned the Roe v. Wade thing. Oh, man, I'm ecstatic. Praise God, we still have some righteousness left in our nation. Amen? Amen. Yes. We need more people like that. And woe to us as Christians that keep silence and we're so quiet about some of this stuff. You ought to be rejoicing over that. They overturned the abortion thing. You ought to be rejoicing publicly. I might lose my job. So be it. So be it. We stand for Christ and we say, thank God. I'm just saying thank God for the freedom we have in our nation today. And it's not because some guys came together and figured this thing out. It's because they founded this nation upon this book right here. And they said, I think it worked with the nation of Israel. Why don't we give it a try? Why don't we give it a try? God bless those forefathers. We think about that today. There's hardness of separation, no participation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now we're to be nice to unbelievers. We're to love them and encourage them and pray for them and do all we can. If they need help, we'll be there to help them. But I'm telling you, there's people that yoke up with unbelievers. Why? It will carry you and pull you away from the things of God. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. By the way, we'll often compromise with unbelievers just so we don't hurt their feelings. But you know they won't compromise for you. They don't drop their standards. They don't drop their rules. Do you know they have their own doctrine? They won't drop it. Just try it sometime. Hey, let's have a word of prayer before we eat. Huh? No, we don't do that here. Hey, why don't you come to church with me? Oh, no, I don't do that. They won't drop theirs. Oh, how we need believers. Oh, I'm preaching to myself. We need to refuse the pleasures of this life. Listen to Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Pleasure is seasonal. Suffering is seasonal. Don't ever think that, oh, I'll never get out of this hump. I'll never get out of this pit. No, it will. You will. God will provide. But also pleasure and sin is seasonal. Be very careful. We ought not to sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. So many people do that. The immediate. Oh, I want that pleasure. I got to have it. Oh, there goes my marriage. I got to have it right now. Oh, there goes my kids. Oh, my friends today. There's hardness and I must hasten and wrap it up here. We must understand. If you're going to maintain your liberty is only as strong as your defense. Do you have a defense set up? Are you cautious and careful about the adversary and what he's trying to do in your life? Oh, how careful we need to be. So careful. So careful. And we must lastly, can I say, follow orders. Follow orders. We follow the orders that are given to us. Oh, my friends, we need this book. You will not be in the will of God outside of the Word of God. You will not walk in the Word if you are living for yourself. We've got to get back in the book. We've got to spend time in prayer. We've got to be praying with those in our family, in our home. Oh, how I can say a family that prays together stays together. A family that prays together will stay together. A marriage that prays together, they'll stay together. Kids grow up and go, well, I remember Daddy provided this and that and gave us. No, know what they remember? What they did with the Bible. My friends, today, stop trying to do it your way. We won't make it. The liberty is threatened. Our liberty is threatened with bondage every single day of our lives. Are you steadfast in your liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free? It was Christ that did it. We owe it to Him to stay steadfast. We owe it to Him to maintain our liberty. And by God's grace, He will help us. Do you consider yourself today to be a good soldier of Christ? Do you consider yourself free? Are there things that have kept you and keep you in bondage this very hour? Let me say, give it to God. So it's easy to say, hard to do. I know that. Give it to God. And by God's grace, if you put forth an effort this week, He will help you. He will help you. He will help you. He will guide you. He will empower you to do that which you are supposed to do. If you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior this morning, I would love to take about 5 minutes of your time and share the wonderful truth of the gospel with you. Friends, we're not guaranteed another day. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Are you sure about that? Secondly, if you are saved, are you living for Him? Are you prepared for battle? Do you have the armor on? May we not be lazy Christians this week. May we be vibrant, dynamic, and growing in our faith with Him. All right, I'll stop there. Let us pray. Father, thank You again for this time this morning. It always seems so short to get the message out. I thank You for Your grace, but I pray for Your help, Lord, personally, to apply this armor. Our liberty is at stake. It is threatened every day. And how easily we can fall back into bondage of some type. Lord, You've given us the Holy Spirit. Help us to use and plead for the Holy Spirit and guide us and help us as we try and reach our community, the people around us. Oh, how we need to be stronger Christians, Lord, I know myself. Strengthen us to be what we need to be this week. Give us Your strength to be in Your Word. Give us Your strength to avoid the things that are threatening our time with You, to put those things aside, cast them off. And Lord, strengthen us to draw nigh to You, and You've promised to draw nigh to us in return. How we love You and thank You. In Jesus' precious name, amen.